Welcome to Wealthability. We're always learning how to make way more money while paying way less taxes. Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, founder and CEO of Wealthability. I'm very excited with today's topic. What if you could reduce your taxes on your business by $5,000, $10,000 or more annually simply by the way you own your business? Today, you're going to discover how to reduce your self-employment tax by using an S corporation to own your business. And we're going to talk about exactly how to do that. So let's look at, again, Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant. And remember, we have four ways basically to earn money as an employee, E quadrant. As self-employed or small business, S quadrant, as a big business or the B quadrant, or as a professional investor, the I quadrant. Today, we're going to focus on the S quadrant, because when we talk about an S corporation, we are not going to do that in the I quadrant, and we're not going to do that in the B quadrant. In the B quadrant, we're not going to do it because we can't. Okay, we have too many shareholders, so we're not likely to be able to do that in the B quadrant. In the I quadrant, we could. It's just going to be a mistake, and I'll explain why that would be a mistake. But in the S quadrant, this is huge, because if you look at the different tax rates of how you make your money, an employee is typically paying 40%, right? But if you're a self-employed, you're probably paying 60%. Now, the reason you're paying 60% is because you're paying self-employment tax. Okay, self-employment tax is a huge tax that, you know, ostensibly is it's Social Security and Medicare, right? It can go up to 16% your self-employment tax. So it's very important that we focus on this tax because it's in addition to your income taxes. Self-employment taxes in addition to your income taxes. And it's one of the biggest surprises that new entrepreneurs have. They start their business and they go to their CPA and their CPA says, just be a sole proprietor. You're not making that much money. Okay, well, here's the challenge. S stands for sole proprietor. Is that as a sole proprietor, you're paying Social Security tax. You're paying Social Security and Medicare tax on 100% of your earnings. 100% as a business owner. Why are you doing that? Think about what you have now as a business, right? You actually have two functions as a business. One, you're an employee. Right? You're functioning as an employee of the business, but you're an owner of the business. And so some of that income is coming because of the business, not because of you. Well, the idea behind Social Security taxes is a tax on your labor. The challenge with being a sole proprietor is that if you're a sole proprietor, then you are taxed as if all of the income from the business were the result of your personal services. We know that's not the case, okay? In most situations, that's not going to be the case. So here's one other thing to think about. Now, E's, you're going, okay, well, I'm only paying 40% to begin with. Yeah, but you're still paying, on top of that 40%, you're still paying Social Security taxes. And you could be paying as much as 8%. In Social Security taxes. All right, so maybe you'd like to reduce that even more. There are some things you can do. We're not going to talk about E's, but you could actually become an S. You know, decide to become an independent contractor. You'd become an S as you start moving from E to S, because everybody moves from E to S, right? No, very few people start out their career as a business owner. Most people start out their career as an employee and they go, oh, like I did. Okay. When I was starting out, I mean, I spent 13 years as an employee before I ever started my own business. Okay. And then what happens is you all of a sudden become self-employed and all of a sudden you're paying all these extra taxes. So what we want to do is we want to look at, all right, these guys over here in the B quadrant, they don't pay these extra taxes. So what do we have to do? What we have to do is we have to start behaving like these guys. Okay, you've heard this before. So we have to behave like these guys in order to have what they have. So we're trying to lower our tax rate. Remember, these guys, they're only paying tax at 20%, right? So we need to behave so in such a way that we can reduce our taxes. And S corporations are going to be the way to do that. Now, remember, if you're a sole proprietor or a partnership, regular partnership, you're going to pay Social Security taxes on 100% of your income. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to shift to this device called an S corporation. Typically, when you form your business, right here you are, right? And then you own this business down here, and you're a sole proprietor, or if you have a partner over here, then you're a partnership, you know, or a partnership, right? And you're paying Social Security taxes. So what we're going to do is we're going to change this. And instead of being a partnership or a sole proprietorship, what we're going to do is now we're going to form probably a limited liability company. Okay, in a limited liability company, we always draw as a triangle. And then what we're going to do is we're going to elect to tax it as an S corporation. So remember that you can have the asset protection of a limited liability company without having to pay the Social Security taxes that you would if you were a sole proprietor or a partnership. And the way we do this is an S election, okay? We elect to tax the LLC as an S corporation. It's called an S corporation. It actually stands for small business, but it also stands for subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. It's very convenient that they made it subchapter S. It is all about that. So what happens is, as an S corporation, now you have your two roles, that of an owner and that of a service provider, an employee. They actually get that distinction. Okay, as a sole proprietor or partnership, you don't get that distinction. But as an owner of an S corporation, now you do get that distinction. So what happens is you're going to get paid two different ways. You're going to get paid as an employee. And how do employees get paid? They get paid a salary. And then you're also going to get paid as an owner. And how do owners get paid? They get distributions. Now, here's the key. Salary, as we all know, salary is subject to Social Security tax, right? And since you're the owner, you're going to pay both sides of that Social Security tax. You're going to pay the employer side because you're the owner, and you pay the employee side as the employee. Distributions are not subject to self-employment tax. They're not subject to Social Security taxes. So those we're going to completely eliminate the tax. So let me give you an example. We're going to make this really simple. We're going to say you are by yourself here. Okay, you are the taxpayer. And what you have is you own an interest in, and again, I'm going to draw this as an LLC, tax as an S corporation, because I think that's an important distinction. You need to talk to your attorney, okay, about whether to be an LLC or be an actual corporation. For most people in most states, you're going to want to be an LLC taxed as an S corporation. All right, now, here you are. You own this company. What do you do? Well, the first thing you have to do is you had to form that LLC. You had to form that LLC, and you form that preferably with an attorney. So step number one here, let's just make these steps up here. Step number one is you form the LLC. Step number two is you're going to file an S election. And the S election is really easy, okay? It's a special form, and down in our fast facts, we've got, you know, exactly which form it is and, you know, where you can go to do that form. But that's all you have to do. You file that S election. You're supposed to file it, by the way, within 2.5 months. If that doesn't happen, you can file it retroactively, as long as you do it before you file that first return. Okay. Now, let's say you've been going along as a sole proprietorship, but you've been smart enough to be an LLC. You can change that LLC at any time to be an S corporation. And again, you can change it retroactively. So let's say that it is let's say it's June, and you haven't filed your tax return yet. And you have this LLC and it's sole proprietor, and now you're going, oh, wait a minute. Now I'm taking this course and I need to be an S corporation, but I'd like to be an S corporation not for this year, but for the prior year. You can do that. If you haven't filed your tax return yet, you can do that. Here's another reason, by the way, to file an extension for your tax return. I love extensions because they give you more flexibility. They give you more time to do your tax planning. And this is one of those cases. So you could be June and file an S election retroactive for the prior year and avoid Social Security taxes for that prior year. Okay, you can do that. And there's a special procedure for it. Okay. And actually, the information for that special procedure down in our Fast Facts. So want to make sure that you have that information. Your tax advisor should file that for you. It's a little, they have a standard wording they use. So I would suggest your tax advisor do it for you, but you can do that. Okay. So you file the S election. Then what do you do? Now you remember, you have to set up a salary. So you have to determine and pay a salary. So how do you determine your salary? Well, think about this. So it can't be zero. Everybody would like it to be zero, right? But the reality is you are an employee. You are working in that S corporation. So you do have to pay yourself salary. If you do not, the IRS has broad authority and they could come back and say all of your income is salary. So what we want to do is we want to set what we call a reasonable salary. Now, are we going to want to be on the low end? Of course, we want to be a reasonable salary, which is on the low end. So what do? We go to some place like salary.com or some other place where they will tell you what would somebody in your position, in your profession, what would they typically make? Okay, what's the range? Pay yourself on the low end. That's fine. But what would somebody, what would be a reasonable salary for what you're doing? All right. And my guess is it's probably a lot less than what your company is making, right? Now, let's say you just have no idea, or let's say that reasonable salary is really high because you're a doctor, for example, and you have your own office, or you're a dentist with your own office, and you're, you know, dentists make some serious money. So what do you do? Well, first of all, you'd look at what would I pay somebody else? Okay. And, but if that's still really high, then what we recommend is 50% of total cash flow. And the reason is because we've just never seen the IRS argue. Some people will say 40%. Okay, I'm a little conservative, so I take 50%. Let's say, for example, then that your income is, let's say your income is $300,000. Okay. If your net income from your business, right, you're going to distribute $300,000. Because let's say your dentist, you're taking everything out, right? You're going to distribute $300,000. Okay. Well, one option would be to say, okay, then $150,000 is salary and 150K is distribution. Now, in this case, you could probably say, no, that's not quite right. I don't think, I think that the right salary, if I were to pay a dentist to do dental work, I would pay them $80,000. $80,000. And then, so if I'm paying them $80,000, that means that I have 220,000, right? I have 220,000 as a distribution. Get that math? Okay. So I'm going to keep this number over here. I'm going to keep this number here as low as possible and still be a reasonable salary. Okay. Something that the IRS is not going to make a big fuss about. So let's take this example. What happened here? Well, instead of paying Social Security tax on $300,000, now we're paying Social Security tax on $80,000. Way less Social Security tax. Way less Social Security tax. Okay, because remember, you have Social Security tax up to a certain limit, and that limit is down in our fast facts. Okay, so your Social Security tax up to a certain limit, and over that, everything's subject to Medicare tax. And if you're and it can be as high as 3.8% Medicare tax. So you really want to be careful about, and you know, 3.8%, who knows, that could change. It could even be more than that. All right. So again, always check our fast facts to make sure that any numbers that I use, you know, that you get the updated numbers. So you want to make sure that you're paying the least amount of Social Security tax, but you have to actually do this. So that means you have to determine and pay salary. What does that mean? That now you need good bookkeeping. So here's the rule on bookkeeping. Do not do it yourself. Do not do it yourself. And do not have a family member do it, or somebody that, let's say it's your receptionist. You're going, well, the receptionist really has time. I'll just have her do bookkeeping, or I'll have him do bookkeeping. Well, wait a minute. Do they have any skills whatsoever? They may not. So be careful about that, okay? I would hire a professional bookkeeper, somebody that this is what they do for a living, all right? You don't really want to hire somebody who is a doctor on the side, right? I mean, you'd like to hire a full-time doctor. Bookkeeping is serious business because the bookkeeper is what's going to give you accurate numbers. Once you have accurate numbers, okay, now there's all sorts of tax planning we can do within the S corporation, because not only are we going to reduce all of our Social Security taxes, but here's some other things we do. Let's look at another benefit, home office. Okay. Home office is a benefit, and of course, it's a big benefit. It's a home office that every small business owner should take advantage of. If you're a sole proprietor, home office has a special schedule that you have to fill out, and you have to let the IRS know that you have a home office. Is that a big red flag? I don't think so, but still, one of the keys to preparing tax returns is we want as little information possible coming rising to the IRS's eyes, right? We don't want to give them an excuse to audit us, right? It's not like we're afraid of an audit, but it's expensive to handle an audit. So we'd like to avoid that. And one of the ways is to be an S corporation, because what happens is in an S corporation, what we do is we're the owner, we have our office, right? We have this office. So we're separately, as an individual, we've got an office here. So over here, let's do it this way. So here's, we'll make this T1 and T2, but it's all the same person, right? But this is now the homeowner, right? This is the homeowner. And what we're doing is we've got an office that we're using for this. Okay, well, so what do you do? The way the rules work, don't pay rent, okay? It doesn't work to pay rent. So instead, what we do is we just reimburse all the expenses of the office. So this is an expense reimbursement. I would suggest that you actually file, you actually do an expense reimbursement form, okay, and reimburse yourself, okay? So just like any other employee, but you're reimbursed for an expense of the business, okay? This is expense of the business that is going to be reimbursed by the business, right? So the dollars are going to come back up here, and you're going to reimburse yourself. All you have to do is reimburse yourself before the end of the year, okay? Now, that's another benefit of the S corporation. Now, here's another thing we've got to do. The next thing we've got to do, remember, what have we not done? We've paid the salary, but now what we have to do is we need to distribute excess earnings. Now, excess earnings means those that we're not putting back into the business and those that we're not taking as a salary. So we're going to have this distribution that's this right here. That's the $220K in this example. So we're going to distribute the excess earnings. That can be, and how often are we going to do that? We're going to do that just like any other company. We're going to do that quarterly. Now, some of you are thinking, wait a minute, I need money more often than quarterly. Okay, I just had my salary reduced from $300,000 to $80,000. So I just took this big pay cut, right? So I'm living on this $300,000. So I need that money more often. So here's what we do is we actually have a line of credit, okay, between the business. So it's between the S and the taxpayer, the owner, okay? So I have this line of credit here. And that line of credit, so let's say it's up to, so they make a $200,000 line of credit, and we lend money on every month. We take, we borrow against it. And then quarterly, we do what we call an adjusting journal entry, and we put it to distributions. Okay, so quarterly, we declare a distribution. We put that in our annual minutes. Okay, so here's number six is your minutes, right? We make sure we put it in our minutes that we did quarterly distributions, and here's what the quarterly distributions were based on how the company did. So it's really easy. You just, every quarter, you take whatever you've borrowed out, and you convert it from borrowing to a distribution. That's how you pay it back. You pay it back through a distribution. It's like you get a distribution from the company and you pay it back, right? Because you already took the money. So that distribution is very important, and also put it in your minutes, okay? When we talk about corporate formalities, having minutes that reflect this is going to be important. Now, it may be that your accountant, now I think one of the best practices for a tax advisor, tax preparer is to actually give you items that need to go in your annual minutes. And one of those items is distributions. So when we prepare tax returns, for example, and when wealthability firms prepare tax returns, what we do is we actually send with the tax return, we send them, here's what needs to go into your minutes that we picked up in the tax return, and distributions one of them. So it's just a nice reminder. Okay, don't forget to put your distributions in your tax return. And don't forget, by the way, also put the line of credit in, put the distributions in your minutes, and also put the line of credit, put that into your minutes, okay? And it may be that you have to have a vote of yourself, you know, yes, we approve that we're going to have a line of credit. Yes, we approve these distributions, okay? Those can all go in minutes. It's pretty simple, okay? It's pretty simple to do that. You can have an attorney do that for you on a regular basis. It's not very expensive. Or you can just, you know, go out and find a form and do it yourself. I think the important thing is that you do it, because the IRS will ask you for your minutes. If you get audited, you can show in your minutes that you had a line of credit. You can show that you had, you know, that you authorized distributions. And on top of that, what you can do is you could show anytime, if you ever had a lawsuit, you could show the judge, right? Look, we did everything right here. Okay, so we should be protected, you know, and so if they sue the business, then they can't, the idea is not being able to sue you. So this is all very important stuff. And I know it's this little detail, minutia stuff, I got to tell you, it's a little, they say the devil's in the details. And when it comes to taxes and asset protection, that is exactly right. Okay, you have to keep track of all this stuff. You need to make sure that you keep the documentation. This is why your bookkeeper, who can help you with the documentation, and your CPA, your accountant, tax advisor, can help you with the documentation as well, and make sure that it's right there available in case you ever were audited or you ever did have a lawsuit. You want to be, you got to do that up front, because you're never going to be able to do it, you know, in hindsight. It's just, it's practically going to be impossible. So make sure you do that. All right. So now you've got the steps. Now let's go one step further. Okay. Let's say you go, well, here's the challenge. I don't want to be an S corporation because I have another owner and I want to be more flexible. I know there's some restrictions on ownership in an S corporation. So let's talk about those real quick. S corporation restrictions. Okay. So S corporation restrictions start with ownership. Okay. So ownership, number one, is ownership. Who can own an S corporation? Well, first of all, you can only have 100 owners. Okay, so that could restrict you. If you have more than 100 owners, that's going to be a restriction. Not a restriction for most small businesses, could be a restriction for some. Must be an individual. Or certain trusts. So trusts can be owners. This is important when you do your estate planning, okay, and your kids and so forth, that trusts can be owners. They have to be done just right. And we can actually have an S corp can actually be an owner if it owns 100%. Okay. And that makes the subsidiary, we call it a QSUP or qualified subchapter S subsidiary. Okay. So that's it. So a partnership can't own an S corporation, right? And certain other trusts can't own a corporation, a C corporation, or even an S corporation can't own a part of another S corporation. So you are limited in your ownership. Okay. Number two is distributions must be pro rata. What that means is if you own 10% of the stock or the membership interest, then you get 10% of the distributions. Well, you might want some flexibility there, right? So you may not always want, I mean, for example, let's say that it's your kids are owners. You might not want to be distributing to them, right, all the time, right? So you might want some, you know, let's say you're the majority owner. You go, look, I'm going to distribute to myself on a quarterly basis, but I've got these minority owners. I'm going to distribute to them once a year. I mean, that kind of stuff. Distributions pro rata. So that's actually a restriction. Here's the other thing. Income and loss is allocated pro rata. So we can't make any special allocations. Let's say, for example, you and your business owner both have cars, only you drive a Ferrari and your partner drives a Honda. Well, your partner may not want to pay for your Ferrari. It may be a legitimate business car for you, just based on what you do for a living, but your partner may say, I'm not going to pay for that. Well, you can't specially allocate the expenses of that Ferrari to you under an S corporation. So that's another limitation on an S corporation. You can't specially allocate income and loss. I think that's important. Restriction in an S corporation. So these are the major, there are some other things that you go, you know, I just lack so much flexibility. For example, how about this one? There's one more here. We should single class of stock. Okay, single class of stock means what? It means that you can't have preferred stock ownership. You can't have somebody just having an interest in the profits and not in the capital. You can have a non-voting and voting. You can have that distinction, but otherwise it's a single class of stock. So you can't have preferred stock and common stock. Can't do that. So that's significant. So I'm a believer that anytime somebody comes up with problems, they need to come with solutions. So I'm going to give you the solution to all of these restrictions, because I want you to be able to have your S corp and still not have to worry about all these restrictions. Okay, you ready for this? Here's what we do. We're going to change our structure a little bit. So remember what our original structure was. Let's say we have, here's owner one and here's owner two. Okay, so O1 and O2. And right now they own this LLC tax as an S corporation. All right, now we're going to change this. And how are we going to change this? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have the business down here. Here's the business. And that business is going to be owned by, from your standpoint, you're going to own it through your S corporation. Okay, and here's owner one. Okay. Now, what this means is that this is a partnership. So over here, this right here is a partnership. What this means is in the business, we can do special allocations. We can have multiple classes of stock, of ownership. We can give a profits interest. We can put all sorts of restrictions. We can do pretty much anything we want because partnerships are very, very flexible in what we can do. Now, what does the other owner do? Whatever they want. It's not your business. You don't care. Now, could they also own it as an S corporation and have it this way? Yeah, they could. Absolutely. Let's say, though, that they want to own it through a C corporation. They want theirs in a C corporation. Well, that's easy. All we have to do is change that from an S to a C, because that now is allowed. Okay. Let's say that they, no. Let's say you bring in the kids and you want to bring it in through a trust. Okay. So now we have a trust in here, and it's not the kind of trust that can own an S corporation. Okay. But it can own a partnership. A partnership can be owned by anybody. Okay. Let's say that you have lots of owners. You have all the owners you want in a partnership. Okay, you can have hundreds of owners in a partnership. So you have all the flexibility of a partnership, and you get to be taxed as an S corporation. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen here is typically you're going to get distributions, right? Because a partnership, no requirement of salary, no requirement of salary. So all of it can be distributions, or if there is a, if there is some type of a salary, you make it a guaranteed payment, but it's all to the S corporation. All right. Then what happens? Okay. Now the S corporation pays a salary and it makes distributions. So you have all the same rules in your S corporation, only you only have one owner anyway of your S corporation. So it doesn't matter. All right, your partners in the business, they can do whatever they want. So this is another one. A lot of times I get people come to me and they say, well, I'd really like to deal with this structure. I want to do an S corporation, but my partners don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Great. Make it a partnership. Make it an LLC tax as a partnership. Okay. Now, if they have it go directly to them, are they going to pay Social Security taxes on 100% of their income? They are, but that's their choice, right? That's their decision. Right. And they may have reasons for doing that. All right. You go, look, I'm going to follow Tom's advice and I'm going to be an S corporation. What's more is you might have certain expenses, okay, that are business expenses, but you decided that you're not going to share them in the partnership. But they are business expenses, okay? But you're not going to share them. So you might have additional expenses in that S corporation that your partner, and for example, you might put your car, you know, you might say, well, look, we're going to, you know, we're going to drive our own cars, all right? Well, that's a business expense, but it may be a business expense of your S corporation as opposed to a business expense of the partnership. So that's key, all right? It's absolutely key. Your home office, for example, may be in your S corporation, okay? Now, it could be in the partnership and be reimbursed by the partnership. Don't get me wrong, okay? And so you could both get reimbursed. And you can do special allocations. So you may say, look, yeah, we have home office, but guess what? He's got this gigantic home office and I've got this little home office and I don't want to pay for his gigantic home office. And so we either do special allocations in the business or we have the S corporations handle the home office expense. That's our choice. All right. We've got choices here. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create flexibility. We're trying to create choices, things that we can do so that we can have our S corporation and reduce our Social Security taxes, have all the benefits of an S corporation while we still get all the benefits of a partnership, which has so much flexibility because let's say we bring in another partner. Okay. So this other partner comes in. All right. And we just want to give them an interest in future profits. We don't want to give them an interest in the value of the company, just in the future profits of the company. Okay, so we'll call this an employee shareholder, an employee owner, right? We can do that in the partnership. We could not do that in an S corporation. So I want to give you an idea that it's pretty simple to do this. Go back through, review this a number of times, and understand what the steps are you have to take in an S corporation. Okay, make sure you get set up properly. Make sure you use proper advice, an attorney, an accountant. Make sure you've got a bookkeeper. Okay, now your bookkeeper might do your payroll, or it might be that you outsource your payroll to a payroll company. Okay, either one, it doesn't matter. It's pretty inexpensive either way. And so it's way less expensive than paying that Social Security tax. Because when you pay a lot less Social Security tax, you get your home office deduction, you get all these tax benefits, you are going to make way more money and pay way less tax. See you next time.